Blog Talk Radio.
Okay. Hello, good afternoon. And with that, I just want to say welcome to one and all, and thank you so much for joining us for another Friday afternoon Bible study. It is good to see so many people already lining up for our study, and today we just want to welcome back Pastor Larry Milliken. He's going to be leading out in the teaching this afternoon, and he has been away last week, had to travel down to Canada, or up to Canada, I should say. That's north of us. But he is back, and he's probably going to say a little bit more about that. But today, I'm so happy to see so many of us lining up already. And I just want to say welcome again to each and every one of you. I want to say welcome to my very good friend also, Brother Wendell Neverson. He was in the hospital last weekend, and so he wasn't with us. But Wendell is online today, and I just want to say welcome, Wendell. Good to have you here with us, my brother, and I pray that God continue to bless and give you strength and keep you out of the hospital. I also want to welcome in a very special way my co-host, as I have been calling her lately, and that is Sister Jackie, who is calling us all the way from Alabama. And she has been joining us every Friday afternoon, and I just want to say, Jackie, welcome. I'm going to bring you in a minute so that you can say something to us. But it's good to have you here and good to have each and every one of the others that are joining us today. Today we are looking at a very important topic, and that topic is total commitment, a total commitment. And that is something that God is seeking from each and every one of us. Do you know that after the blight of sin cursed the earth, the brightest day from that time was the coming of Jesus Christ, when he came into the world and offered himself as a sacrifice for our sins so that he might spare us the eternal death that was ours because of the sin of Adam and Eve. And the brightest day that we would ever have today is the day when we hear the calling and the knocking of Jesus Christ on our heart's door, and we decide to open up and let him come in. That is one of the brightest days that we would ever experience. So if you have not done that as yet, I just want to suggest that today might be a good day to do that. To just open your heart's door and let Jesus in. Today, our teacher, Pastor Milliken, he's going to lead us in a study from John chapter 3. He's going to be looking at John chapter 3, and there he will tell us about a man by the name of Nicodemus who came to Jesus by night because he he wanted to, or he heard Jesus knocking at his heart's door, and he just wanted to learn more about that. And so today, Pastor Millican is going to tell us more about that. But before Pastor Millican comes, I just want to say hi to Jackie. Jackie, can you hear me? Hello, Jackie. Grace, are you there? Let me try something. I think I just opened the wrong number. What about now, Jackie? Sister Grace, are you there with us?
Good evening, everybody.
Okay, I was just wondering. How are you doing, my friend?
I'm doing great. Praise God. It's by God's mercy that we are here this evening, and we can't be in a better place than here because the Bible tells us not to forget to assemble ourselves. And when we assemble ourselves as brothers and sisters, we receive nourishment, we receive strength. You know, so it's good to come together to hear what God has to say to us this evening. And I also want to say thank you to Miss Francis. She's not feeling good yet. I think she's here.
Yeah, I think she's on the line with us. But yeah, we can just say hello to Sister Francis. Sister Francis, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
All right. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. I thank God that I'm here.
Yeah. Well, that is good. And there are so many others online already. So, Jackie, I know I'd ask you to give us a thought for today before we get into our study. So I'm going to just make way for you to do that right now and just to share something positive and uplifting for all of us, to which we're going to have a special song, and then we'll have our prayer, and then we'll go into our study with Pastor Larry Millican. So, Jackie, it's your turn now.
Okay, today, as we noticed, we're talking about Nicodemus. You know, the Bible tells us that Nicodemus came to Jesus by night. Maybe he was afraid because we know at this time he was a man of position. He was a man of power, you know, and because of all what was going on, he just rejected. Yet he came by night. He wanted to have something more than what he had, you know, and that's the... That should be our desire, to want to have something more than what we have. And you know in whom we can find that something more than what we have? In Jesus Christ. We can find salvation. And after we find that salvation, we have to be transformed because we are delivered. You know, we be transformed from what we were. You know, from what we were, that new creature in the beginning. Like, you know, something come to our life, we have to show something different of that old person we once were, to take on that new creature, that new person in Jesus Christ. So how wonderful it is to know Jesus. It's so sweet to know Jesus because we know who we can go to when we are going through difficult times, you know, because he had promised that he will never leave us or forsake us. And what an awesome God we serve. You know, he's with us always. Praise God. So I just want you to know whatever you may be going through today, he's right by your side. Call upon him because in that name there is power. And power to deliver, power to heal, power to transform, power to meet just any need. You may think, my friend can meet some of the needs I have today, but Jesus not only meet one, Jesus meet all your needs. And he said, you know, in everything give thanks. You know, in everything we should give him thanks. Even in the worst of the worst, give him thanks. Praise God and thank you and hope, you know, whatever you receive here will be a blessing to you and you will go from here transformed and ready to share and shine Jesus Christ.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Jackie? I wonder if you can tell us a little bit about yourself, since you're going to be co-hosting with me and probably hosting sometimes when I'm not around. I just want you to introduce yourself. Let everybody know who you are, probably talk about your disability and everything like that, and just tell people what the Lord has been doing with you in spite of, or doing for you in spite of what you have experienced in your life.
Well, my name is Jacqueline Grace. I'm from Colombia, South America, a small island in the Caribbean, and married to my husband, Xavier Grace. We have two children. I'm living here in Alabama, and I'm sorry about that. I'm very thankful because where I once were, I'm not there anymore. Christ had done so much for me, you know, transformed me into a better person, more patient, more humble, you know, and that's a wonderful thing because sometimes we want to do things on our own and that does not work. But with Christ, everything is possible. I had lost my sight from a medication that was given to me in Colombia, South America. And at the first time, I was 19 years of age when I first lost my sight. It wasn't easy, you know, because at that time, being sighted and lose your sight is not an easy thing. It's easier to be born blind than to lose your sight after being sighted, you know. But I'm very thankful because vision, friends, is not in our eyes, in our mind, you know. And thank God he opened my spiritual eyes so I could see better. Yet I'm blind. I can see in this, through the spiritual eyes, and you know, the same he had done for me, he can do for you too, because nothing is impossible for him. I got married after I was blind, and here I am with two children, two wonderful children God has blessed me with, and I just can't say thank you, Lord, enough. You know, words just aren't enough. There are challenges in our lives, you know, difficult times. But those are the things that make our lives even richer, you know. I'm not telling you that as a blind person you're not going to have challenges. Yes, there are going to be challenges, but when you trust the Lord, when you put your all in him and lean not onto your own understanding, I tell you that makes a difference, knowing Jesus as Lord and Savior. I went through so many sight treatment. I had over 25 surgeries. Some of them work. You know, the last time I had sight was in 1993. And maybe I had misused it by doing some crazy thing like scuba diving and cliff diving and all that stuff. But, you know, sometimes whenever we have situation like health issue, we look at it like our life is over, you know. But sometimes is the point that we get to for us to allow Christ to start working in our lives. So how important it is to have Jesus in our life. You know, sometimes I sit back and ask, how is it, does it work for people who don't have Jesus in their lives? Because of all the difficulties, all the trials that people go through, I just don't see it. So I'm very thankful. I encourage you to seek him if you haven't have that personal, close relationship with Christ as yet. Seek him, you know, seek him first and his righteousness, and all things will be added to you. If I could tell you all the things Christ had done and keep on doing for me, this an hour wouldn't be enough. So, you know, I leave it for right here because I know the preacher wants to come in to give his Bible study for today. And, you know, if you want to contact me privately, I could give my number later on, and or Donald could give it out. I don't mind, you know, but I want to be a blessing to you. I want to be a friend to you because Christ called us friend, and we too should be a friend. You know, sometimes you will say, I don't have friends. But if you won't have friends if you don't show yourself friendly. You know, you just can't go out and try to find a friend. You have to start by showing yourself friendly. So
amen.
Thank you, Donald. And I hope it is.
Yeah. Amen. I'm so thankful for your testimony, Jackie. And again, I believe that it's the Spirit of God that asked me to really talk to you and ask you about being a co-host. But one of the reasons also why is because you are visually impaired, and this program is basically geared towards people who are visually impaired, and you would be able to relate, you know, to the people. And like you said, if anyone wants to talk to you privately, they can call you. But I wouldn't give your number out over the air here, because just about everybody could get your number if I do that. But if anyone would like to have Jackie's number, you can always call me, because most people have my number. Call me, and then later on I can put you in touch with Jackie. All right, but Jackie, I'm so blessed. I'm so happy that you're here. Let me check and see on the Pastor Milliken. Are you here with us?
Yes, I am.
All right, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I'm glad that you're here, sir. And like I said, you heard Jackie there just now. Jackie is going to be working with us.
I'm
happy to be able to introduce her to everyone as the person. At least I'm hoping that she accepts. She didn't say yes as yet, but I'm hoping that Jackie would say yes and be the co-host, so that at times, you know, when I'm not around, or if I'm not here to do it, maybe Jackie can host the program and be online. So God is good, Pastor. The ministry is growing, it's expanding, and we just thank God for what he's doing.
Amen.
Before you come on, Pastor, let me just play one song, and then we will go into your study for today. And it's entitled, Don't You Let Nobody Turn You Around. People from Blue Mountain Academy, and
Amen.
Don't you let nobody turn you around. Let us bow our heads for a word of prayer, and then Pastor Milliken is going to lead us into our study today, coming from John chapter 3. Let us pray. Father and our God, we are so thankful just for the privilege to be here. I'm thankful for each and every person that has called in this afternoon. Thank you in a very special way, O God, for your word, because it's alive and it's powerful. And it's sharper than any two-edged sword, and it can pierce and divide, O Father, and set us free from our sins, if we would want to be free. Jesus said in the book of Revelation, he says, Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man would hear my voice and open the door, he says, I will come in and sup with him, and he with me. O Father, I just pray that today, that as your word go forth, the hearts would be opened, and you would be able to enter and do for us a transformation, make a change, O Father, that only you can be, that only you can do, so that from this day onward, we would live not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And amen. Pastor Milliken, all over to you, sir.
Thank you so much. I enjoyed Jackie's testimony. I appreciated
Amen.
Her enthusiasm for the Lord. What a privilege.
Amen.
If you have Bibles and you're able to follow along, I invite you to turn to John chapter 3, as Brother Don already mentioned. We're going to be reading here about a very interesting experience that Christ had with a man by the name of Nicodemus. And John tells several experiences about Jesus relating to individuals. Jesus is interested in each one of us as an individual. And this is borne out in our study tonight. So I'm just going to working my way along through the chapter, verse by verse. And I think you are familiar with this story, but I hope that we can gain some new insights and have a deeper experience with Jesus. Verse 1, it says, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. Let's talk about that a moment. The Pharisees prided themselves that they were especially connected to the Lord. They were the separated ones. In fact, that's what basically the Pharisees called themselves. They're the holy ones, the separated ones. They were better than most people in Israel. They felt they had a better connection with God. And Nicodemus was one of those Pharisees. Unfortunately, they were often very proud and self-righteous. And that's unfortunate. And he was a ruler of the Jews, which meant he was part of the Sanhedrin. The Sanhedrin was made up of 70 of these special people, and they governed the spiritual life of Israel. Now this man, in verse 2, says, came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him. You notice this man came to Jesus by night. The truth of the matter was he wanted to see Jesus. He'd heard about Jesus. He'd heard about many of the miracles that Jesus had performed, the wonderful teachings that Jesus was giving. But he was ashamed to come to Jesus by day. He didn't want anybody to know that he went to see Jesus. So he couldn't let people know that. So he came by night. And notice he called Jesus Rabbi. Rabbi is a term for a spiritual teacher, spiritual leader. So he's recognizing that Jesus is a spiritual leader in Israel. And he says, we know that you're a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs unless God is with him. But you notice also, he didn't recognize Jesus as the Son of God. Oh, no, no, no. Just a teacher come from God. Just a teacher. But Jesus didn't comment on that at all, but simply said in verse 3, Jesus answered and said to him, most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Wow! That must have shocked Nicodemus. What did Jesus mean? Unless one is born again, he can't see the kingdom of God. Why would Jesus say that to him? Why, he's a religious leader. He is a teacher in Israel. Why would he need to have a new birth experience, be born again? And Nicodemus said to him, how can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? Now, of course, Nicodemus knew that could never happen. But I guess he was kind of frustrated, didn't know what to say, and so he kind of made fun of it. How can a man be born a second time? Can he enter his mother's womb again? Jesus again answered, most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. Most assuredly, he said, unless you're born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter God's kingdom. What did Jesus mean when he said by water and the Spirit? Well, various commentators have talked about this verse. Some have suggested that perhaps water here symbolizes Jesus himself. Jesus said, "He that is athirst, come to me and drink. Come to me. I will give him living water." Perhaps he's talking about himself, or perhaps he was also talking about the matter of having a change of heart and life and being baptized, born of water. So baptism is very important. And Jesus taught that we need to be baptized. We must believe and accept Christ to be baptized. So perhaps he's talking about baptism here. But he says, born of water and the Spirit. Of course, the Holy Spirit. If there's any change in our lives, if we're ever to have a new beginning, a new birth, as it were, it must be from the Holy Spirit of God. If we don't have that, we cannot enter the kingdom of God. And then Jesus went on, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Yes, when we came into this world, all of us were born into this world. Our mothers gave birth. We were born of flesh. But Jesus said, that's not what I'm talking about. We're not talking about just our natural birth. We've got to be born of God's Spirit. We've got to be born again. A new birth experience, a complete change of life. You know, when you're born, your whole future is ahead of you. Your whole life is ahead of you. You're beginning your life. Yes, at birth you begin. And when we are born again, all of our past is forgiven, put aside, and we have a new beginning, a new life that lies ahead of us. That's what Jesus is talking about. And we must have that experience. We must be born again, born of water and the Holy Spirit. Wow, I want that experience. And I'm sure those of you that are listening to me tonight, you want that same experience. And we need to have a daily new beginning with Jesus, continually letting him transform our lives. Then Jesus went on. He said, do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. You notice he uses that word must. It's not an option. It's something that must take place. We must be born again. It's not just something we may choose and take and or leave. No, it must happen. And if it doesn't happen, we're not going to be saved at last. Oh, I want that experience. And I want it for each one of you that are listening. And I'm sure many of you have been born again already, had that new birth experience. Now, Jesus goes on, still talking to Nicodemus, and he uses an illustration. He says, the wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but cannot tell where it comes from and where it goes. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit. He likens the Holy Spirit, that work, to the wind. Now, I'm sure many of us, or perhaps all of us, have been in windstorms. We've experienced times when the wind was blowing very, very harshly. I remember when I was just a boy, I was raised on a farm, and we were out milking cows one evening in the barn. We had an older barn, and a windstorm came up, and the trees around our barn were blowing and bending over. We had a lot of poplar trees. And the barn itself began to creak and groan. And Dad said, we better get out of the barn in case this wind blows this barn down upon us. So we all got out of the barn in that terrible windstorm that was blowing. As I said, I'm sure many of you have gone through windstorms. How many of you, if I were to ask you personally, have seen a wind like that? How many of you have seen the wind? Well, actually, that's a trick question. None of us see the wind. We see the results of the wind, don't we? We see the trees blowing. We see the leaves blowing. We can see the results in the rain being blowing across in front of us and storms and so on. But we don't really see the wind. And Jesus is saying we don't see the Holy Spirit either. But he works, yes, silently sometimes, sometimes quietly, or sometimes with more noise. But we don't see him. He works in our heart. He works in our life. We need that power of the wind, the Holy Spirit, the wind of God born in us. On Pentecost, on the day of Pentecost, you may remember the disciples were gathered together. They'd been praying, spending time, searching their hearts and seeking a deeper relationship with God. And then on the day of Pentecost, 50 days after the Passover, that's what Pentecost means, 50, Feast of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit came upon the disciples. It came upon them like a rushing mighty wind, like a wind. And tongues of fire set upon each one of them. Oh, the Holy Spirit is likened to the wind, very powerful indeed. Now Nicodemus finally got his breath. This is verse 9. Nicodemus answered and said to him, "How can these things be?" He was taken back. How can these things be? Jesus answered and said to him, "Are you a teacher of Israel and do not know these things? Most assuredly, I say to you, we speak what we know and testify what we have seen, and you do not receive our witness." He's really giving Nicodemus a rebuke. He's saying, Nicodemus, you should understand these things. You're a teacher in Israel. You should understand. You should know and be able to share these truths with others. But we can only share what we know. We can only tell others what we've experienced. We can only share what we ourselves have received. By the way, the strongest witness we each have is our own testimony of what God has done for us. Jackie, you gave your testimony. I heard much of it this evening. A powerful testimony. What God has done for you in your life. How he's changed you. And we can share what God has done for us. Reading on, I must keep going here. If I told you earthly things and you do not believe, how will you believe if I tell you heavenly things? Nicodemus, Jesus is saying, if you can't grasp these things, there's so much more I want to tell you. But you need to be open to the Holy Spirit working in your life. And then Jesus said something that many have questioned. What did Jesus mean? He said this. This is verse 13. No one has ascended to heaven, but he who came down from heaven. That is the Son of Man who is in heaven. Let me read that again. What did he mean? No one has gone up or ascended to heaven, but he who came down from heaven, that is the Son of Man who is in heaven. But Jesus, what did you mean? We know that you translated, took to heaven, way back in Old Testament times, Enoch, the prophet of God. You took him to heaven. He ascended to heaven. How could you say no one has ascended to heaven? And later on, we know that you took Elijah to heaven. You came down, chariots of fire, in a whirlwind, and Elijah was caught up and taken to heaven. So how could you say no one has ascended to heaven? I think what he's saying is, no one has gone up to heaven and come back down to teach us. The only one that's really come from heaven to teach us these things is the Son of Man, Jesus himself. He came to show us the Father. He came to teach us these things. He came to reveal the truth of God for us. And, you know, it's heaven to be in the presence of Jesus. When we spend time with him, we're getting a taste of heaven here on earth. Jesus is the center of heaven. When we have Jesus, we already have heaven beginning in our heart. When we received him and he changes our life, we're already experiencing some of the joy of heaven itself. Jesus said
Amen.
He came to give you life and to give it more abundantly. Wow, I like that. Now, he goes on, still talking to Nicodemus, and these are powerful verses. He says, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must Son of Man be lifted up. Well, that's the second time he uses the word must here. He said, we must be born again. Now he says, the Son of Man must be lifted up. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. What is he talking about here? Well, that story about Moses lifting up the serpent is found way back in the Old Testament in the book of Numbers. Numbers chapter 21. And I'm turning there quickly, and I'll read the story for you. If you have your own Bibles, you're welcome, of course, to turn to it as well. Numbers 21, beginning at verse 5. It says, and the people spoke against God and against Moses. Why have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no food and no water, and our soul loathes this worthless bread. Ooh, they said, we're tired of the manna. We're tired of this worthless food. We don't like it. We would wish we were back in Egypt. Why'd you bring us up here to die in the wilderness? Then the next verse says, so the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people. Actually, he didn't send those fiery serpents, those snakes. They were already there. He just withdrew his protection for a moment and let those snakes begin to bite the people. Ooh. It says, and they bit the people, and many of the people of Israel died. Ooh, these were poisonous snakes, poisonous serpents, and many began to die. Therefore, the Bible says, the people came to Moses and said, we have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord and against you. Pray to the Lord that he take away the serpents from us. So Moses prayed for the people. Then the Lord said to Moses, Make a fiery serpent, and set it on a pole. And it shall be that everyone who is bitten, when he looks at it, shall live. So Moses made a bronze serpent and put it on a pole. And so it was, if a serpent had bitten anyone, when he looked at the bronze serpent, he lived. All the people had to do to be healed from those fiery serpents was to look to that serpent hanging on the pole, and they would live. They would be healed. Look and live. It wasn't very much they had to do. They didn't have to do some great work. No, just look and live. Now, why would God have Moses make a serpent of bronze, put it on a pole, and heal the people that way? You know, in the Bible, the serpent is a symbol of the devil. He's a symbol not of Jesus, but of the devil. So why would God have the people look to a serpent for life? Well, the only answer I can give is this. I believe that serpent symbolizes, yes, the devil, but also symbolizes our sin. We've all been bitten by sin. We're all by natural birth sinners. We are all sinners. And Jesus came and was hung on a cross, like that serpent was hung up on a pole. Jesus was hung on a cross. But he took all of our sins on himself. He took my sins and your sins, all of our sins. And we must look to Jesus and be saved. Wow. I like the way Paul puts it over in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. It says, God made him, that's Jesus, to be sin for us. He became as if our sins, took all of our sins upon himself, just as if he was sin. That's why it was symbolized by that serpent. And all we have to do to be saved is to come to Jesus, look to Jesus, and live. And let him have our lives, and he's the one then will give us a new birth experience. He'll send his Holy Spirit. He'll change our lives. He'll forgive our sins and change our lives, and we can have light. And all we have to do is believe. In fact, that's the next verse. It says that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. And then the verse we all know, I'm sure, from memory. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So, dear friend, dear listener tonight, if you've never accepted Jesus, I invite you to look to him tonight. Come to him in your own heart and say, Dear Jesus, I believe you died for me. I believe you took my sins on yourself, died in my place, and I'm coming. Please forgive me. Look to Jesus. I invite you to do that tonight. I invite you to give your life to Jesus. What a marvelous privilege. We can look and live. And God will forgive our sins. He loved us so much. As the verse said, he so loved the world, he gave his only Son. His only Son, that we could have eternal life. You know, Jesus came not to make God love us. Oh, no, no, no. Jesus came because God does love us. In fact, God loved us so much, he sent his Son. Jesus reveals the love of God to us. Wow. And then I like the next verse. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world. Oh, no, no, no. But that the world through him might be saved. He who believes in him is not condemned. For he who does not believe is condemned already. Yes, by natural birth we are already. Unless we come to Jesus. God didn't send Jesus to condemn us. No, no, no. But to save us. So we need to believe in Jesus. And then we can have life. And then I like the next verses. Jesus is still speaking to Nicodemus, but he's speaking to us too. And it says, this is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds be exposed. But he who does the truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be clearly seen, that they be done by God. Yes, friend, God doesn't condemn us. He sent his Son to save us. He doesn't want us to be lost, but he wants us to come and believe, to look, and to live. Oh, what a privilege. What a privilege. Now, Nicodemus, he went away that night. He was puzzled. He was wondering, what is this all about? I must be born again. And then that passage where the Son of Man must be lifted up. What does it all mean? What does it mean? And I want to give you one more passage that gives the rest of the story about Nicodemus. It's found over in the Gospel of John, the same Gospel. And it tells about the death of Jesus in chapter 19. And it says this, beginning at verse 38. After this, Joseph of Arimathea, this is after Jesus died, he was still on the cross. After this, Joseph of Arimathea, being a disciple of Jesus, but secretly, for fear of the Jews, asked Pilate that he might take away the body of Jesus. And Pilate gave him permission. So he came and took the body of Jesus. And Nicodemus, there's the Nicodemus, who at first came to Jesus by night, also came, bringing a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 100 pounds. Then they took the body of Jesus and bound it in strips of linen with the spices, as the custom of the Jews is to bury. Now the place where he was crucified, there was a garden, and in the garden a new tomb in which no one had laid before. So there they laid Jesus. There they buried Jesus. Notice it was a man by the name of Joseph and a man by the name of Nicodemus. You know, Nicodemus never openly expressed faith in Jesus until he saw Jesus hanging on the cross. And then it all came to him. Jesus told me that he must be lifted up. Here he is, hanging on the cross. Nicodemus believed in Jesus and openly accepted him and helped with his burial. So, friend, I hope each of you will not wait on accept Jesus. Accept him if you haven't done so tonight. And look and live. Thank you for letting me share with you. May God bless each one of you.
Amen. And amen to that again. Pastor, I must say that I was truly blessed by that. And it's encouraging to know that even though we may have sinned and lived in sin, it is possible, or God made it possible through sending his son Jesus Christ, that none of us should remain in that darkness. But he invited us to come out of the darkness of sin and come into his marvelous light.
Amen.
So
that's
that
what
we
it's all about.
Can experience. Yeah, that's what the new life is all about. So that we
that's
can experience life through him. So I just want to thank you so much for that study. And
you're
welcome. So blessed. There is one thing that I just want to touch on again. He talks about the wind. You know, sometimes when we accept Christ, sometimes we might not feel the change, so to speak, and we wonder inside if we are truly changed, if we are truly saved. Could you touch on that a little, about what it's like to experience that new life in Christ?
Yes, I certainly could, Pastor Don.
Mm-hmm.
So, Jesus didn't say, "He that feels like he's forgiven is forgiven."
Mm-hmm.
He never
okay.
said that.
Amen.
He never said we have to feel that we're changed. No, no. He said we must believe.
Amen.
That's
so
what
it's
talking,
a work of faith.
It's a work of faith, yes. It's
mm-hmm.
not a work of feeling. Now, many times when we are born again, when we come to Jesus, there is feeling. For some of us, there might be a deep feeling. We may burst into tears when we give our lives to Jesus. We may have a sudden, tremendous change. But other times, we're not. You know, I grew up in a Christian home, and I can't give you just an exact day when I was born again. It was a process. But I believed and kept believing. And need to do that. Well, it's not a matter of feeling. He never says that anywhere. It's a matter of belief. We need to come to Jesus, admit that we've sinned, because we all have, ask him to forgiveness, and then believe. That's the point. I'm glad you raised that issue, Brother Don.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And I'm just going to open up all the lines now and just ask anyone who would like to make a comment or ask a question or ask a prayer request to do so at this time, because all the lines are open up.
Yes, I would encourage anyone who would like to make a comment or add to what I've said. I would be happy for that, or if they have any questions, we'd be glad to work with those questions.
Pastor Milliken.
Yes.
What do you have any information on Nicodemus during the Christian era after Christ ascended to heaven? Did he have anything to do with the early Christian church?
Okay, just before, Pastor, just before you answer, I just want that person to just identify himself. Just tell us who you are and a little bit about yourself.
I'm Arthur Carlson.
Okay.
Arthur?
Yeah.
In the Bible, as far as I know, there's no further reference to Nicodemus directly. But in the marvelous book, Desire of Ages, on the life of Christ, the author there points out, and I believe it's likely very much true, that Nicodemus was one of those early ones that helped support many of the new Christians who became Christians who lost possessions and there was persecution and they lost everything. And it suggested that Nicodemus used his wealth, because he was a wealthy man, he used his wealth to help those people. And I think that's likely true. The very fact that the Bible records, as we read in John 19, how he came to Jesus after his death and openly then at that time had partner's burial, I think the Bible suggesting he was faithful after that. And so I think it only makes common sense also that he would use his wealth and his influence to help others to also believe in Jesus and to have a change of life. It's kind of tragic that Nicodemus waited all that time, though, before he fully accepted Jesus. But it's a good question.
Amen.
Thank you.
Yeah, and I just want to say welcome, Pastor Carlson. Good to hear from you, sir.
Yeah, thank you.
All right. Anyone else?
Praise the Lord. My name is Frances Peacock, and I enjoyed the message.
Amen.
I'm glad you did enjoy it.
Yes, yes. Left my spirit.
I hope it was a help to you.
Sir?
I hope the message was a special help to you.
Oh, it was. It sure was. And thanks so very much.
You're welcome. God bless you.
Thanks.
Amen. We have a few more minutes to live. And then if there's anyone else who would like to comment or just make a prayer request, if you have a prayer request for us, because we're going to be doing our closing prayer. And since we have Pastor Carlson on the line, I'm going to ask him to do the closing prayer after we do our closing song. But so if you have any requests at this time, or you know, any question you would you'd like to ask, now you have a few minutes to do so.
I'm Frances, and I'm going through a lot. And I do ask for prayer.
Okay.
I ask for prayer.
Prayer.
I ask for a healing, and I ask it in the will of God.
Amen. All right. I also would like to just make a special prayer request for our sister, Sister Katie. She's one of our listeners that had a little bit of difficulty where she was staying this week. She's visually impaired, and she had to move from where she was, and she just moved to another state. So I just want to keep her in. I just want us to keep her in prayer. All right, and that's Katie.
All right.
Yeah.
We'll be glad to do that.
Okay.
Hi, this is Jackie, and I would like to lift up my children in prayer, you know,
there are a lot going on, a lot of distraction from the social media and all these things. So we know the devil always attacks the ones that are more vulnerable. So I want to lift up my children, and not only my children, but all the youth. The youth need our prayer, you know?
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
I want to, this is Wendell. I am soliciting the prayer of the group. I just came out of the hospital, I spent a week and came out and then went back in and spent 3 more days. And I just came out on Wednesday. And this is Dr. Phil can't find out what's wrong with me. So I'm praying that you guys would pray for me for my day, for my healing as well.
Amen. Yeah, Wendell was in the hospital for over a week because he was over there about 2 weeks ago or so, and then he came out last Thursday, and then he had to go back in on Friday gone, and then he was there up until maybe Wednesday or so, and now he's back out again. So we just, and the doctor still can't find what's wrong with him.
Mm.
So we just need to turn his case over to Dr. Jesus.
Amen. Amen.
And let Jesus take care of it, because we know that he knows everything that we're going through. So at this time, I'm just going to put on a song that would prepare our hearts for prayer. And after the song, Pastor Carson.
Heavenly Father, what a great joy it is to come before you at the close of this service. We thank thee, O Lord, for blessing our speaker, Brother Milliken, and the message that he gave to us. I pray that
Amen.
Thou bless he and his ministry. There were several who asked for a special prayer tonight. The only name that I was able to catch was Francis. And she was asking for healing. And I pray, O Lord, that thou wilt answer her request and that thou wilt answer the other requests as well. Thank you, Lord, now for blessing each one who is listening, and that thou wilt help us all to be conscious of following you. And we're asking that one of these days we'll all be saved in thy wonderful kingdom so we can all be together and enjoy our fellowship. Thank you now, Lord, for hearing and for answering our prayer. For we pray in Jesus' holy name. Amen.
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 Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I just want to thank everyone again for listening. Thank you for being so faithful and so, committed to this ministry. And I know that you have been blessed, Pastor Elkin. Thanks so much, sir, for the message, and I pray that God continue to bless you and your ministry as well.
Thank you.
And I just want to encourage us to be with us next week once more. We will continue here at the same place and same time. And please do invite a friend. Invite a friend, and so that the blessings that we are enjoying here, we will not keep it to ourselves, but we will share it with others. I just say Godspeed. Have a wonderful weekend, and look forward to seeing each of you next time. God bless.
Amen.
Oh,
amen.
One more thing before you go. If you need Sister Jackie's number, any one of you, just call me, and then I will try to get you in touch with Sister Jackie. Okay? God bless. Or either one of the pastors also, if you need a number for Pastor Milliken, Pastor Carlson, give me a call, and I'll try to get you in touch with
these men of God. Yes, we would be glad to talk with you. We would be glad.
Yes. Amen. All right. Have a wonderful weekend, everyone. God bless.
Wow.